Book of Luke, chapter number 19. We're going to read the first 10 verses together. I want to ask you a question first. What did you come expecting today? What did you come expecting today? You come expecting God to work in your heart and life? Did you come expecting to be a blessing to somebody? Did you come expecting God to bless you? I mean, did you come expecting? We ought to expect God to always move and do something in our lives. Amen. We have a great, wonderful God. And I tell you what, sometimes it might happen during this song. Sometimes it might happen during announcements. How many have ever been blessed through announcements? Oh, that was such a blessing to hear that we're going to have this coming up. Nobody? I'm searching. Bill, okay. Anytime food's mentioned, Bill says, yes. Alrighty. We got that coming, Bill. Okay, by the way, those who are making pies, Bill has a request, either hot or cold. He don't care which one. You know, this is a great time of year for me. I love turkey. How many love turkey? How many like dry turkey? Yeah, I like it dry. It's better than running down the road. Yeah. Dry, wet, however you want to serve it. Yeah. Last night I had it with gravy. How many like gravy? Yeah. See, some of you were sitting here like this a while ago, but now you're excited. We're talking about food. Some of you are coming alive, finally. All righty. We are on a roll here. All right. I like turkey and gravy. Okay. I'm just itching to say it, Rich. That's why I like you. But I'm sorry. I know. I know. All right. But anyways, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We trust that you might get a blessing as we read and search the Scripture this morning. We're going to talk about a publican today. He's got a name, Zacchaeus. We're going to look at a guy here today that was a scourge of the earth. But he didn't know it. Matter of fact, the title of my message today is The Man Who Didn't Know Who He Was. He didn't know himself. So let's look here in Luke chapter number 19. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. It says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for the Scripture. Thank you, O God, that we can call upon you in these moments and seek your help. Lord, we need more than your help. We need you. O Spirit of God, we need you to move in our hearts and our lives, to speak to the lost, to minister to the saved. O God, today may you glorify yourself in this place. Cause your word, oh God, to enter into hearts, to do the work that it's capable, and because it's a living word. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. As we've read this particular account, we find at the end in verse number 10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That verse gives us the entire purpose of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is also considered by most Bible scholars to be the key verse to the book of Luke. The Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have coming upon us what we call the Christmas season. It is the first advent, if you please, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He coming that you and I might be saved. He came not just to be born, but to live a perfect, matchless life, that He might die, not for Himself, for He had no sin, but for the sin of all mankind. John the Baptist, when he saw Him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." How can that take place? Only because He, as the Lamb, has all of our sin placed upon Him. And their dying died for you and for me to pay that price of death that we so deserve because of that sin in our lives. So He came that He might seek us, He might save us. We find that this particular chapter of this man named Zacchaeus is really a tremendous illustration of the previous chapter. I want you to go back with me, if you would, to verse number 10 of chapter 18. And notice what it says in chapter 18, verse 10. It says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a what? A publican." What was Zacchaeus? A publican. He is the illustration of this story, if you please. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." I mean, he put this publican in very horrible light. That's the way they thought of them. He says, "I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." What does the Lord tell us about this publican? He says, "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted." He is the illustration, if you please, of this particular passage. We go on in chapter 18. If you notice verse number 15, it says this, "And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him." But notice what Jesus says. He called them unto him and he said, "Suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And notice the truth he makes. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Who climbed a tree that day? Zacchaeus, like a little kid, that he might be able to see out and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 18 down through verse number 27, we find here a rich man that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get down to verse number 25 or 24, and the Lord says, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And yet we find that this rich man enters into the kingdom of God. It may not be an easy thing. There may have to be a process, and we're going to look at that process today. But nonetheless, rich and poor can be saved. It's not a matter of how much money we have in our pocket as to our significance to God and His availability to you and mine and to me. We also find that as the Lord Jesus Christ drew near to the city of Jericho, that there was one who came unto Him who was blind. It says in verse 35, "It came to pass as He came or was come nigh unto Jerusalem or Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." Here is this man in illustration. For he could not see the Lord Jesus Christ. He was too short. All he could see was down to the ground, but he could not lift his eyes and behold Him. And neither could that blind man. we shall see this man who climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. We're going to find out this morning he did not even know who he was. But by the end of the day, his life had changed. I want to share with you today three different points, if you would. I'd like to share with you today who he thought he was. Who he thought he was. Then I want us to look at and to really examine to find out who Zacchaeus really was. But more importantly, when Zacchaeus finally figures out who he really was, then who he became. Who he thought he was. He thought he was important. We find in Scripture he was the chief of the publicans. A publican was an official of Rome. A publican was one who had the privilege to be able to oversee the buildings of Rome and the building of those buildings and different projects by Rome. But by the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, publicans were basically men who would, through auction, have the privilege to collect taxes in a certain locality. They would go before the governor and they would have this auction. Whoever bid the highest, they would pay that price. And then it was up to them to be able to collect that price back because that was the taxes from that region. And yet he had the privilege to get more than he had paid. They had at their backing the Roman legions. They had available to them, to those who would not pay, even the death penalty or prison. And so they came with great power to the household. If you think the IRS is extortioners, you should have dealt with these, who could come and name their price at any time, and you had to pay it. Not only was he a publican, but he was a chief among them. He was in a position that made him answerable to only the emperor. He lived in Jericho. Jericho at this time was considered a vacation spot. It was a place of luxury. He was a man who was considered to be successful. As with most, we somehow think that success is related to wealth. And so when a man has a great amount of wealth in his pocket, we think, oh, he's a successful man. But I have known some wealthy, miserable men, have you not? And still he believes he is that. He has enjoyed the luxuries that wealth could afford, unlike most of his countrymen at this time. He thought that he was well off. He thought that he was prosperous. He thought that he was a man of great success. But we find that he was anything but that. For as we look at who he really was, we find that he was a man who was hated by the general population. He was a man that was hated because of his greediness. He was a man amongst his own people of the Israelites, one who was considered disloyal because he, as a son of Abraham, he as a Jew, was collecting taxes for a country that was over them, whom they despised. These tax collectors had that power to overtax and keep the difference. And most of the people of the land looked at them as thieves upon their soil that had the right to do so because of the power of the Roman legions. The Jews looked upon the publicans as the lowest of sinners. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 30 it says, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?'" Here's a man, unknown to himself, as a man who is considered the scourge of the earth by his countrymen. We find in the Bible that it says that he was little of stature. The Jew by nature is not a tall people, and yet we find that he is one of those who is short among them. Short in the way of physical stature, but more than that, we find that he was one who was short in integrity. The name Zacchaeus means pure, but Zacchaeus was anything but pure. Zacchaeus, as a publican, had given up his right to even walk into the temple and to partake with the offerings. He was a man that was despised, as we've mentioned, by his countrymen. And so when the Lord Jesus is coming and the lines have formed across the street and along the way, they don't even afford him a place to break through the line. He is not able to do so. In spite of it all, we see this little man, little of stature and little of character, wanted to see Jesus. So much so, he was willing to climb a tree to get there. Now that's interesting because from what I understand, a sycamore tree in the land of Israel, what they called a sycamore, was one that had a very slick bark. It was one that the first limb or the first branch that you might gather was very high off of the ground. In other words, if he was going to climb that tree, he had to grab it around and basically shimmy his way up a ways until he could find that first branch and pull himself up. It was not an easy task for this little man to do so. And yet he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the last time I climbed a tree, I was a little kid. Across the street from me was an empty lot. And in that empty lot, there were shrubs that went all the way around it. Behind the shrubs were two of these weeping willow trees. Weeping willow trees began very low at the ground. And so it was our deal to climb up into those trees. And we spent many an hours up in those trees as we would spy upon the cars and different things that would be coming down the street. But since those days of this day, my idea of getting in a tree is just not exactly my idea of doing anything. We have those who climb trees that they might cut them down. We have some who like to go to great heights and do those things, but I am not one of those. And I look at this man and I think of this fellow at this particular point in his life, and I think, here is a man who at this point wants to see Jesus so bad, he is willing to become like a little child. He is willing to make a spectacle of himself. He does not care. He's not cared what they thought before, so why now? And he climbs a tree that he might see Jesus. And as a result, who he became becomes very important. He became a man that is noticed by Jesus. Why did Jesus notice this man despised by the world? Why did Jesus notice this little man named Zacchaeus, whose name means pure, but he's very impure? Is because Zacchaeus, at this point in his life, wants to see Jesus. He may not even know why. Perhaps he's heard some things from people round about. He's heard the talk in the streets. He's seen the folks gathering. He's seen the excitement that is taking place. Perhaps he's heard of the man outside the city that was healed. Perhaps he's heard some of the stories. By the way, Christian, we never know the impact we have in a life when we tell them anything about Jesus. We never know what might stir within their heart at a later time. And so this man wants to see what it is that everybody else wants to see. And he climbs a tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ notices him. I want to tell you why he notices him. Verse number 10. The Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to save that which is saved. He did not come to reach out to those who did not need him. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of looking for sinners. What would he find if he stepped into this room this morning in his royal garb? What would he behold when he comes into the auditorium of Open Door Baptist Church today? What would this man Jesus, the Son of God, the very God Himself, would He see you? Would He take note of you? There are throngs that are round about, and yet He looks and He sees Zacchaeus. Would He see you? You say, well, I'm not wealthy. Did He seem because He was wealthy? He came to seek and to save lost. He came after those who were sinful. He came after those who needed help. I know this morning that includes everybody in this room. But what it really means is everybody in this room, in order for Jesus to notice them, must see that for themselves. I can look and I can say, oh, you're a sinner. You say, how do you know that? Because my Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've been around this world long enough to know that every individual I lay eyes upon has sin in their life. I know that today. It is obvious wherever we turn. But so many do not recognize it in their own life. For 20 years, psychologists and educators said that what we need in America is for our children to have self-esteem. They think too little of themselves and they need to think better of themselves. Do you know what those same psychologists and educators have now discovered? They were wrong. The problem has always been that we have pride. The problem has always been that we think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. Or we ought to know that we are worth something to God. But we're only worth something to God because He makes us. And He does it only when we recognize we are worthless. You see, here's the problem when the Lord Jesus said back in chapter 18 that rich men have a very difficult time getting to the kingdom of God because they think they are pretty good. They think, I'm successful. They think, what else do I need? They see not the need of their life. Poor people have always been a people who recognize they're needy more than the rich. But here's a rich man that finally comes to realize, I'm poor. These folks seeing something and I can't see it. They're excited about something. They're poor and I have power over them, but they're excited about something. And I don't have it. And he's willing to climb a sycamore tree that he can see Jesus. And Jesus stops. And he says some words that are very telling. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Come down. Get off of your pedestal. Get off of that which props you up. Get off of that which you think makes you higher than the rest. Zacchaeus, come down. And I'll go to your house today. You know what our problem has always been? We're like Zacchaeus. We think too highly of ourselves. It doesn't matter what our lot in life is. We think too highly of ourselves. And we need to see ourselves in the light of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ in that moment says, Zacchaeus, you have elevated yourself. You've wanted to see me. You have seen me, but you need to get down. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of reaching out to those who are sinful. We've seen it in another tax collector who became one of his disciples, Matthew. We've seen it with a woman at the well. As the Lord Jesus Christ stops there in Samaria, and here's this woman who's been married 5 times and now living with a man. And then he meets her. There's a woman that's taken in adultery and thrown at his feet, and yet He does not pronounce condemnation upon her. But He does to those who are her accusers, who refuse to see themselves as they really are. Our Savior has little time for those who are self-righteous, but He has all kinds of time for those who are humble, like the little child. I say to you today, He became a man noticed by Jesus, but He also became a man that is forever changed because He spent some time with Jesus. He went to His house. It changed His life. You say, "Preacher, how do you know it changed His life?" He said, "Half of everything I have, I am now giving it to the poor." When was the last time you opened up your pocketbook and took out half of everything you had and said, "Folks, it's yours"? But this man did. And then He said this. He said, "If I have taken from any man unjustly, I will do as the Scripture says, I will restore fourfold." You think the lions were forming at Zacchaeus' house? Zacchaeus is basically saying, "I have found Jesus. I am willing to give it all up because I have found something." He had spent some time with Him. What a difference it makes in our life when we spend some time with Him. His wealth, His position didn't matter any longer. Salvation opens your pockets, opens your heart. It gives to you a desire to be right with fellow man. That little time with Jesus made Him like Jesus. That salvation can only come as He was willing to come down. As you and I are only willing to come down from our lofty pride. Only as you and I are willing to come down from that which props us up. Oh, there they'll say, "Well, I have my own ideas about how to get to heaven." No, why don't you come down off of those and let Jesus do it His way? "I have my religion, preacher." No, it's Jesus you need. "I've done this, preacher." No, it's Jesus you need. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's only one way under the Father, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father how but by Me." Come down from that which prompts us up. Come down to the One who came down for us. The God of glory, the God of heaven, the One who created everything, the One who cast the worlds and the stars and the sun and the moon, who cast all of these out into the spacious areas of the universe that He Himself made. He who created the animals and the waters that flow. He who brings the clouds over and the trees to grow. It is He who became as a man and humbled Himself. He came down to us. Have you ever been to places where there's important dignitaries? They have the head table. They walk around. "I am important. God is far greater than any. He doesn't walk past us. He came to us." Do you notice where Jesus is at? He came to the town that Zacchaeus lived in. He walks down its dirty street. And the one he notices is above him. But they can't have fellowship until Zacchaeus comes down. Until you get off of yourself and get off of your ideas and get off of your ideals, until you put yourself in that position of lower than Jesus, you're not going to have fellowship with Him. A lot of folks say, well, I go to church. Yeah, we go to church because a lot of times we go to church and it's, here I am, God. Aren't you glad I'm here? When really, when we meet with Jesus, it becomes a relationship. We've gone through the little rituals. We've gone through the different things that they tell us to do. But we don't have that relationship. You know what the problem's been? We've been in our tree supported by our prideful ideals and thoughts. It's time to come down. To humble ourselves. Can you see that day? Make haste. Don't dilly-dally around about this, he says. Come down. For I'm going to your house today. All those people had been standing in front of him. They're now looking at Zacchaeus. He's a spectacle. Mrs. Burgett, do you think that you could come down out of a tree in a respectable manner? Martha, do you think you could climb down out of a tree in a graceful area? You wouldn't be there in the first place. I understand. I've never seen anybody with a cane come down with a tree. That was a place of humility. And he comes to Jesus. And he goes home with him. He wants to do in your life today. I speak not only to those who are lost, but those who are saved. The reason we don't have Jesus with us is because we are too good for Him most of the time.